All right, good morning, everybody. My name is James Ayers from Two BDMs and a Mic, and we have a special kind of impromptu interview here. Of course, a lot of you know I'm on my back to the beach here in Sandals Royal Curacao, and I am joined by the amazing sales director here, Kimberly Facunda. Kimberly, how are you?
I am good, James. How are you?
Amazing. Of course, this resort is absolutely incredible, and I know that you're super busy, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but as we talk to the travel advisors here, and of course, I have 11 of my own here. They've had an amazing time. They've done some stuff on their own. They've been treated amazing here at the resort. I kind of just want to touch on a few things and let you describe Sandals Royal Curacao to the advisors that aren't here and kind of all over the country, why they should start looking to send their clients to Sandals Royal Curacao, because we all know it's a little bit different vibe than a typical Sandals, right? So can you give us a few quick hits on the reason to come here?
All right. First of all, we should never be too busy to make time to talk, all right? Especially not to the travel trade. So that's first. All right. So if anybody in my team tells you that, we have some questions to ask. So no, it's always a pleasure. I'm not saying we're not busy, but you should never be too busy not to have just a quick 10, 15 minutes to chit chat. So let's go dive deep straight into the Sandals Royal Curacao. So Curacao as an island in its own is a little bit more south in the Caribbean. So this is, yes, the Caribbean, but it's more like a Dutch Caribbean, as I like to call it. So yes, we love our sister islands. Don't get us wrong. It's still in the Caribbean. Don't get us wrong. You would see a lot of similarities, but you would see a lot of differences as well. And just to speak more onto the differences, we speak four languages. So that makes it that English is not our first language, right? And for everybody on island, their first language would differ. For example, for me, it's a mix between Papiamento and Dutch. So I actually count in Dutch. Most people wouldn't think that. And then I translate it to English. With comparison to our sister islands, then you would find that most people speak English. And if they speak another language, it will be, you know, more along the lines of any of the dialects or French. So it would be in between one or two. Four languages, I mean, that doesn't make it any easier whenever you're translating. And outside of the languages, of course, because we're Dutch-based, you have a lot of Dutch touches to this particular resort. What Sandals is known for is definitely to add their special touch. Everywhere they go, they add their special touch to the resort. So returning guests, let me just stop there. Returning guests, you know, people who just love a particular resort or love this about this particular resort, actually can mention why. Right? Mm-hmm. Because service should be consistent across the board. It doesn't matter where you are, if you're in Grenada, Curacao, or Jamaica. And remember, there's a few in Jamaica. So it shouldn't matter service and quality wise. Yeah. So if I could just mention two short things, it will be that.
Now, one thing I want to touch on are the rooms. You know, you get a lot of advisors that, you know, whether they've been to only one Sandals or they haven't quite made it out to a Sandals yet because they're busy, they're doing a lot of work, right? And I want to just touch on, as, you know, Adam Stewart and co have really pushed this Sandals 2.0, right? Sandals Royal Curacao was kind of the unveiling of that vision, per se, right? Now, can we just kind of talk about a lot of advisors, they get worried on the luxury level versus club versus butler. And one thing that the first thing I noticed is that the first time I ever stayed here, Kimberly, I think I was in a luxury level room, but it was so nice. I was confused that I couldn't find the room service menu because it felt like I was in a club level room. And aside from just that one little touch, if you've got clients that you already know they're going to spend most of their time out of the resort, they like to get out of their room and go to breakfast. If that happens to be the only category left, or that's where they want to go to kind of save a budget or maybe use the extra money for an excursion, can you just talk about the level of quality of room that is here from top to bottom?
Sure. So the first thing, some people are particular about their mics, so I ask questions.
Control.
Is that Christy, so?
You might as well just
Christy, call me. Okay.
Christy would know if
we're
I
gonna
under the mic,
we're gonna deal with this one. I'm just kidding. All right, so let's dive deeper into the rooms. First thing I would love to say is know your client, right? We need to dive deeper into knowing this particular person you're bringing on resort. Is it a person who is always 24/7 on the go and would just like to hide in their room and, you know, just get to themselves, you know, go quiet, don't move, barely move, you know, hibernation, as I like to call it. If that's your client, I suggest getting them a better room. And when I say better, careful with that word, right? Because better in that sense, in this specific case, means that ensure they have room service. Ensure, if you know they're going full hibernation, give them a butler service, right? Give them exactly what they are looking for. Don't give this particular person a luxury leading room that is beautiful, just as James just said, but they have to get up and get something, right? So we're taking away from this their experience. So I think, and this is my opinion, it's my personal opinion, you don't have to be, you don't have to agree with me, but if you know your client, this is, we call them guests, right? If you know your guest, the guest that you are bringing to the resort, you know what they're looking for. You can cater specifically to what their needs are. If you know the specific guest you're bringing to the resort does not care about the room. And when I say does not care, of course, all rooms are clean. Our rooms are beautiful. Our rooms are have a good location because the resort is spread out. But it's not like way too big that you feel like, oh my God, I've been walking forever, right? It's pretty central, if I can put it that way. If you know that the person is just wants to have a good time, explore the resort, and they want to spend they want to invest in other activities, go ahead and book them a luxury room. Why? Because there is nothing wrong with the rooms. I know how there is a unwritten rule out there, like, oh, you just got a luxury. Well, guess what? Luxury leading rooms, that's exactly what it stands for, right? Luxury leading. And then once you climb the ladder, you will notice small differences, right? It's not fair for me to sit here and say that there's no differences. That's not true. Anyone who stayed here, who has toured the rooms, who knows the property, would know that that is not true. You have some differences. But, however, the differences would not be so big. When I say so big, we have some rooms that you could literally notice that, hey, wait a minute, these are bigger rooms. Don't get me wrong. However, the interior, you know, the touch, the design, the ambiance, it starts at the luxury leading rooms. So you're getting quite an experience at just entry level. And that's, to me, a very good, how you call that?
Starting point.
Very good starting point. Translating again from other different languages. It's a very good starting point because you make your market bigger in a way, if that makes sense. So we have different types of clientele, right? And for Sandals, as you obviously know, you have luxury, club, or butler. Now, a butler guest may be in a position that they already booked a trip, butler level, but they still want a quick getaway. This is a perfect choice. So there's a lot of ways for you to play around with the rooms, and the travel advisors that contact me on a daily, if I could say that, they would know that it's just one email away, right? Please bear with us. And when I say us, I mean all of us in this business. At times, on resort especially, it does get hectic, but we should answer you know, as soon as possible. We have a good time lapse. I could speak for myself. I ensure that my emails are answered. And believe me if I say, your request is as important to me as it is to you. So feel free to reach out.
Now, before we dive in, a little bit more on a few personal things for you, because I want these advisors to get to know you. I want to touch on something that a lot of people don't give Royal Curaçao enough credit for. And you don't even know what I'm going to say here, so I know that you're a little bit nervous. The entertainment team. You know, back home with a lot of advisors, well, how's the entertainment at Sandals Royal Curaçao? You know, I don't really know what's going on. I don't hear much about it. But I was actually speaking with Malik yesterday. And I was getting a little bit of background on where he's from. And of course, if you come here, you'll know Malik because he is everywhere. He is the entertainment team. He's on it. But he likes to pretend that he works in every service. He thinks he's a bartender. He thinks he's a butler, right? He loves that. And everyone's like, no, get out of here. You're not on our team. But I was letting him know, you know, I think that for those that are big time sandals and beaches lovers for the advisors, the Turks and Caicos entertainment team is phenomenal, right? And I told Malik yesterday that this is one of the first entertainment teams that I've seen that it feels the same energy, the vibe, the way that they mingle with the guests, the way that they hang out, the way that they take over the pool at 2 or 3 o'clock every day. And it is someone that comes from an entertainment background, it's okay to do that once in a while. Like, that's easy for any team or entertainment team to do. But when they do it, it's daily. And the fact that they're doing it daily, you can only be that way if you love what you do and they actually truly enjoy being out there and hanging out with the guests. It becomes fun versus I have to be there, right? Can you just speak a little bit about how proud you are of your entertainment team and what guests can expect when they come here, what kind of shows they do throughout the day and evening?
Definitely. So, yes, you said it. You said most of it, actually. We have at times...
Christy gets mad.
Christy, call me, all right? I got you. So here's what happens. You said it. It definitely comes natural to this team. It is not easy being around the pool. It is not easy dealing with people in its whole. And we get that, right? Because we're right in it. We're dealing with people 24/7. And it comes really natural to the specific team. Again, not all of them, they're original, you know, go-to language is English. So that is a very particular twist to it as well. And what I would love to mention is not only Malik, you have different people that just make friends with the guest. And I say this carefully because, of course, there's boundaries. Don't get me wrong. However, I know different guests that would literally come and seek out particular individuals. Everybody knows Leon by now. It's safe to say. Everybody knows Denali, and I can see so slowly but surely Penzo, he's creeping up and catching up to them. And you just mentioned Malik. So you can see that it's not only just one or two people from this team, and they work around the clock. Now, when I say this, that's, of course, a little ticklish as well. When I say around the clock, if I call this team in the morning and say, you know, I have this and this, can you just maybe assist? You know how difficult singing is in the morning? Well, let me tell you, they are ready. Of course, they're going like, oh, Kim. But at the end of the day, they show up and they offer, you know, top tier quality service. And I am just so proud of them. They have different shows. There's a variety of shows. Everybody knows the Michael Jackson show, right? Well, they add their special twist to the shows. They have their unique characters come on in the show. So it is a party every night. I don't know how people can keep up with this. But every night, definitely at 9, their shows are, you know, out of this world. That's all I can say. And I come from an entertainment background somewhat as well. So not on resort. Let me just say that. Not on this resort. But
Garth, you heard that. Kimberly said.
Garth, you know.
You got entertainment background. So
yes.
I think a solo performance in one of the shows, right?
What are you doing? You know we're recording this, right? Yeah. But what I can say, just speaking into this, it's talent all over, 100% talent, and it is genuine, genuine character. So that makes them a lot more beautiful as a person.
All right, now before we let you go, you know, one of the things that we do on Two BDMs and a Mic is always get to know our guest on a personal level. Now, if you pay attention, Kimberly's email is there. The email is there. So you use it, travel advisors. Please, if you don't wait until your client is here, if you have a difficult client or just someone that has some high demands, please do not wait for these sales managers for your client to get here. Let them know ahead of time. Let them get ahead of the game. the more honest you are with what type of client is coming, the better prepared they are and the better prepared they can hype you up as an advisor. The whole point is to make you look like the rock star. So help them help you. And that's going to go a long way. But as we go into that, it really helps as some of these advisors really know who they're working with. Now, of course, the very first time I came here, you were not in this position. So you've made a lot of changes. Can you just kind of give us a few minute walkthrough of your background, how you got into Sandals, who convinced you to join this amazing family, and what do you see your future self going to? You know, no pressure. It's not like Garth watches or anything.
You're going to be in so much trouble, but okay, here we go. So, and just to, you know, piggyback right on what you just said, yes, please, please email us. It makes it a whole lot easier. I always tell all the advisors, once we're on this, you know, these fam trips, this is a family, right? Sisters fight, brothers fight. Don't we all know it, right? And I don't mean to be negative, but if we speak to each other, you know, it's a conversation away. Let me know, hey Kim, just help me with this one. As honest as you can be, that's what's gonna make the dream work. And I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking for myself here. So just to dive a little deeper, to what is Kim? Kim comes from a corporate background. Let's just start there. I know on your previous episodes, everybody goes like, yeah, I started with Sandals 20 years ago. Well, guess what? I think I'm going to break that chain. Oops. Oopsie. So no, I didn't start with Sandals a few years ago. I come from corporate business. So my mind is very, let's call it financial for now.
Yeah.
I definitely know how to read a P&L, and I definitely know how to whip in a budget together, right? But there was a certain time, right, you know, before the pandemic, where the company I was working for, we were, oh God, I hope nobody sees this, right?
Only hundreds.
We were in the midst of changing a few things. So in the midst of changing the things, I was thinking to myself, Kim, so what's going to be your next challenge? You know, I think somebody can wake you up in your sleep and you'll be able to say whatever. So in the midst of that, somebody sent me the Sandals Royal Curacao application form. And I'm like, hospitality? And I'm going to give you the tea just like it is, hot with a bit of sugar, yeah, right? Of I was thinking to myself, hospitality? Are you kidding me? Okay, let me see what they, you know, you go through that list to
there's see. There's probably a lot of advisors that relate too. They're like,
what?
Travel, like, why would I do that?
Exactly. So I was like, okay, let me just give this a try. I mean, why not? And at the time, the only, I went through the interview just to give you some background, and they didn't really know where to put me. It was just, you know, that weird type of interview. So they were like, eh, no, go there. And then this one sends me to this one. And this one sends me to that one. Anyway, after all of that, I landed in sales as the convention services manager. And I think little people knew how much of a background I had. Let me just put it that way. So as the, you know, the resort opened, we were in hard hat and boots, you know, scrubbing all the rooms. So it gives you a special place in your heart, you know, opening a resort. And while we were at this, we were a team of four. Unfortunately, the former director of sales had to, you know, go a separate way. Let me put it that way. And positive lighting, don't get me wrong. I have to say that, you know how people can be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sometimes people just go a different direction.
Yeah. The director of sales chose a different path. So I was left with both hats, if I could say it that way. That's how we say it in Dutch. So I'm literally translating here. And in between going into the hats, you know, you just have to pick up whatever you have and run, because we don't get to close the resort, right? It doesn't close at 5. So this is 24/7 kind of business. So it was, you know, constant keeping up. Okay, well, guess what? I wasn't really prepared for this, but here we go. We're dealing with this. We're dealing with that. And one of the benefits of being the convention services manager is that you get to know people, right? So you can kind of have questions. And I had a very good group director, if I could say it like that. She kind of, you know, worked our way, especially for the team, just to guide us through the process. It wasn't very speedy, I would say. Coming from the corporate world, it's like, okay, next week. And then, yeah, you deal with that, right? But this is different. And we made it. We're in the official seat right now. We're still working on different ways to, you know, improve whatever we have and offer on resort. And Curaçao as a whole is a gem. There's a whole lot of history, and it doesn't only count for Curaçao. You know how people streamline the Caribbean as just coconuts and sand and hammocks and island time. It's not the case in many islands, not only just to speak about Curaçao, but here it is definitely different. All right, we're more desert, so that puts us in a whole different perspective, and the laws here, they just hit different. We have Dutch laws, so that's a little bit into it, but that's what makes me Kim, I guess.
And what do you love about the Sandals just family as you've kind of grown into it? Like, what do you think something that you've really learned as a bigger whole here?
So this question, I get it a lot, especially when people learn that I come from corporate. Yeah. They ask me, so what has been the biggest challenge? And I say, smiling. You know how in corporate you could just be serious and everybody goes about their business? Of course, you have to be courteous and kind. Don't get me wrong. But it's the constant smiling and the constant, hi, good morning. How are you today? It's that dash of it that makes it different. In other words, there's not really a difference. Why I say this? Because business is business, and hospitality is so serious. And I think that people tend to not consider it as serious, especially in Curaçao. Why I would say that? We were never, as in economic pillar wise, we were never tourism at first. It was oil industry, economic, you know, financial sectors. That was it. Slowly and surely, over the past, I would say a good buffer of 6 to 10 years, you could see tourism in its whole, you know, getting more up there. And
Sandals kind of being a huge leader.
Definitely. So, if you look at the figures, and I love statistics, if you look at the stats for our Curaçao Tourism Board, whew, did Sandals do it? It is all the way up there.
You know, the first thing I actually notice about this island is when you fly in, a lot of advisors and us that we travel a lot, it's the airport. And I'll never forget my first time coming to Curaçao, because I was like, what is happening? Like, they're so fast and everything is so quick. Even just coming here this time, I was with another advisor of mine. We got through the airport so fast that we almost had this confused. We get to the Sandals thing and they're like, hey, do this pre-check-in. And then we're on the bus and they're like, okay, we're leaving. And we're like, what?
What just happened? Do
we, like, we didn't wait. And any, like, it was, and it's so clean.
It's
incredible. It just, the whole, you know, when you talk about being more oil business, maybe that's why your airport is so great. I'm not sure, but it's just the hospitality that you get from the airport all the way to the resort seems so natural for everyone here at Curaçao that it is kind of weird to know that tourism is so young here.
Chrissy, first of all, did you see that? I kept the mic. That's a personal win. That's a personal win. He did not grab it. Girl, call me. Yes, but you are right. You are right. I think it's a little interesting. The deeper we dive into it, the more you think about it. Yes, it was never the go-to. Yes, we did have hospitality, so don't get me wrong, but it was a bit different. We definitely had more Dutch in flying guests. And of course, the cruise port, because we have a great even if I could say it like that. And if while you go back and deeper into history, you would learn that there was a lot done here, like, you know, from trade to tanking any regular American ship, you know. It's very interesting, the richness of our history that we have here. And you know, you remember the part where you have to visit, anyone watching, so you have to visit it for yourself to kind of experience more to what we're seeing. We have so much to offer as an island. We have everything for anyone. Of course, if you want to jump on a train, I would recommend going to New York or Amsterdam. Yes, disclaimer. However, we have other fun stuff that you could do on island. No trains, just putting it out there, because I said everything, right?
Well, I feel like if you had a train, you would get to the other end of the island,
right?
fairly quickly, right? You know, some things that some of my advisors have done since they went here, they went into town, they got pumpkin pancakes, which apparently is a huge thing here.
Not only that, so we have some unique, let's call it food items. And I'm going to have him hold the mic. So it's a 1-1 thing. So he just got a point and now I have 2 points, right? All right. You get that? You saw what I did there?
Okay.
So yeah, of course. So pumpkin pancakes is definitely a must. There is a local, I'm going to call it market, but it's like a food market. So it's not your fancy restaurant that you go in, you flip the towel and you put a napkin. You see, translation. You put the napkin on your lap and you're good to go. No, that is definitely not it. You want to go for a short break so we can get it?
Are you trying to cut off right now?
No, we have a drink. You see? This is what it's about.
Cheers.
Is this virgin, though? Is this virgin? Interesting. That is really good.
It's very good.
So going back, if you want the unique rural experience to the local market, it is raw. And when I say raw, it's raw. You have benches in a city, like, let's call it a city hall. You have benches in the building. You have different ladies stirring up their pots, you know, cooking local food for you right there and there. And it goes anywhere from pumpkin pancakes to iguana soup or iguana stew.
I noticed that there was fewer iguanas at the resort than when I first... No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, you get a point for that one. He gets a point for that one. No, we don't do that. No. And we don't serve iguana on resorts. I think that might be a nice twist. But I don't know how many people would try it. But no, we promise no iguana on resort. You would have to go off resort to try this. And then there's a lot of different types of cuisine. You know how, and let's just for sake of conversation, choose Jamaica as an option. You know, it's very popular to get jerk chicken. We do have jerk chicken option here on resort. It's at the Strand restaurant. That's one of our, I call it a barefoot lunch experience. However, if you go into town, there are some Jamaican restaurants because it's, you know, it's a melting pot to decide. However, the local cuisine is more based on stews. So you will get something I call yambo. That's the local name for it. It is It's a soup. Let's go there. It's made out of okra. It tends to be a tad slimy. I'm just going to put it out there. But it is filled with sea food options. It can go anywhere in between that scale. And it is definitely delicious and good for strength. And then this
what are you trying to say?
Yeah, that's one more point for me, Christy. You saw what I did there. Oh God, I'm keeping square here. I'm winning. James, you gotta fix up your game. So when it comes to stews as well, there's a papaya stew. Have you ever heard of something like that?
No.
Exactly. So there's a lot of interesting cuisines. Not too spicy, I would go ahead and say that. We do have spices on island. It's not like we stay away from the hot of the food, but it doesn't the main goal isn't hot and spicy. It's a mix of flavors, and you will feel the melting pot while on island because it's Indian influences, Venezuelan as in Latin influences. You have, and when I say Indian, I both mean like true owners of the land, and I mean Indian, as in from India. So it's a melting pot of flavors, you know, anywhere from saffron to truffle to cumin, you know, that type of mix, and that makes it a very interesting mix and match. So there's a few things you need to try, cuisine wise, to say, okay, I've tried the go-to things. It's the pumpkin pancakes, right? It's any of the stews. You get to choose anywhere from papaya to slaw stew to spinach stew to goat or any of the above. And believe me when I say there's a list. Anything iguana, promise it tastes like chicken. I have tried both the soup and the stew. Not my go-to, not my favorite. Disclaimer, I wouldn't go wake up and say, I feel like every Sunday I should have this and this. No, but it is definitely tasty. And then outside of that, definitely the okra soup, the gyambo, and try the polenta. We have a few twists to it. We either do it as, you know, as the original cornmeal polenta, or we fry it. And that is very nice as well. We call that funchi fries.
You know what you just described is every reason why when an advisor says, why do you have this program for the $250, you know, on-island voucher for around dining? You just gave them $250 worth of food options, right? Or more some. So
remember, the $250, that's elevated cuisine, what I just mentioned. And when I say elevated, I mean elevated. Anybody who has done the Dine Around program knows that the restaurants that are on there, creme de la creme.
Of course. I mean, yesterday they were all like, my advisors took a lot of money to get these pancakes, and they were like, it's just $2. And they were like, what do you mean it's only $2? They were very confused. So listen, your money can go a long way here, right?
So it does. Just for, you know, facts, our currency, if you compare it to a dollar, it's between 178 or 182, depending on what you're buying. It doesn't go above 182. So, $1 equals 182 guilders. So that's not a bad position to be.
No, not at all. Well, Kim, hey, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Come to Curacao. Use your points to paradise if you need to get out here. Meet with Kimberly. Meet with their sales team. And then email her. Please email her. And until then, we will talk to you next time, Kimberly. Thank you so much.
High five.